Good morning. This will not be the shortest sermon you've ever heard, so see how we go. It's a message in two parts, part one this week, part two next week. And so by the end of today's message, some things will be left hanging. And that's okay, because I'll try and wrap them up next week. At the end, I thought if we have time, we'll have some questions or any comments people want to make. But I'd like to start with a question for you. So I'll get my gizmo out. And that's my question. What is your life purpose? Now, there's no right answers to this important question. So if someone asked you this question, what would you say to them? Would you tell them what your life purpose actually is, or what you think it should be? Because they're not necessarily the same. Or would you say, I don't know? You could quote the first lines of the Westminster Confession of Faith and say the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that's true. But I'm thinking of something that's a bit more personal and relevant to you. So take a moment now and think about it. And then, if you want to, chat with one or two people next year and share what your thoughts are. So 2 minutes. Yeah, just to ponder it in silence, or talk with someone and say, or ask the person next to you what they think their life purpose might be. Okay, I'll come back to that near the end of the message. This is the verse I want to focus on today. Matthew 10:39, a saying of Jesus that we've heard before. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Again, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. So what does it mean to lose something in order to find it? Jesus seems to be saying that if you find your life, you'll lose it. And if you lose your life, you'll find it. This saying is recorded 6 times in the Gospels. So that just means it's probably quite important. Only one other saying is mentioned more times than that. So what does it mean? Well, the common understanding that is that this is about life now and the eternal life to come. And Bible commentaries that I've looked at regularly give this kind of explanation. They say, if we try to save or find our life in this world, we'll actually lose it. We will miss out on the eternal life that Jesus offers us. But if we lose our life in this world, so we believe and follow Jesus, then we will find real life in Christ and be with him for eternity. The New Testament scriptures consistently teach this method. Believe in Jesus, accept and follow his teaching and example. And that's how we're saved. And that's how we find our true destiny. Now, if you haven't made that choice to believe and follow Jesus, don't put it off forever. Commitment comes before knowledge. It's like sitting in a chair. How do you know the chair will hold you up? Well, you only really know when you sit in it. Yeah, you can look at it for as long as you like, but you do have to sit to find out. And it's the same, I think, when you choose to follow Jesus. It takes a commitment, and you make that commitment, and then you know if it's true or not after. So if there is anyone here in that situation where you're kind of believing that the chair will not break if you sit in it, but you haven't sat in it and tried it yet, then be glad to talk with you afterwards. Anyway, back to Matthew 10:39. When we explain passages in the Bible, and particularly the sayings of Jesus, I think that sometimes we want to remove all the ambiguity, make things simple and understandable, and then you can say, job done, I've nailed that, I'm comfortable, let's move on. But I think that Jesus invites us to kind of linger with some of his sayings a bit longer. And see, maybe, and this is kind of what I want to talk about, maybe he is saying more than we think he's saying in this passage. Maybe he wants his hearers to kind of chew on it for themselves. So, three important words in this saying: life, find, and lose. So here, in this saying, finding one's life is viewed negatively, while losing one's life is viewed positively. That's the opposite of what we would normally understand. Usually, finding is a good thing and losing is a bad thing. Well, Jesus flips them around and says it's the other way in this case. So Jesus invites us to consider that losing our life could be our life goal or purpose. It's pretty general, but, you know, imagine that it might sound a bit weird if someone asks you what your life goal is and you say, my goal is to lose my life. But that's kind of what he's asking or getting us to think about. Okay, now where am I? There. I want to explore the idea of our lives being made up of stages. Now, you might think stages, you start out as a baby, become a child, grow up to be an adult, get married, get a job, have children. That's not what I mean here. Okay, so that's valid, that happens, but not what I'm thinking about. I don't want us to think of stages as being linear. You do this, then this, then this, then this, and I'll come back to that and explain it in a minute. So two stages of life, here they are. Stage one, getting your life together, or finding your life, if I go back to what Jesus said. Stage two, giving our lives away, or losing our lives. Now, these are not my ideas, I've borrowed them from a variety of people that have written about it. First thing to note, that both these stages of life are a struggle. Because life is a struggle. That's how it is. We struggle to get our lives together and we struggle to give our lives away. So trying to relate that to the verse from Matthew 10:39, Jesus said, if you lose your life for his sake, you'll find it. That's like the second stage. Giving your life away is like losing your life. And we start to lose our lives. We start to give our lives away when we live more for others than for ourselves. Right? You've got to look after yourself as well, but there's a shift somewhere along the way. But we cannot truly live for others. We can't give our lives away until we first get our lives together, because you've got nothing to give away otherwise. A few blank looks. See how we go. All right, stage one, getting your life together. This starts when we're born. As children, we learn how life works. We learn what we should do and hopefully what we should not do. We try things out. We test boundaries. And then along comes this time in our life called puberty, where we have these powerful energies, strong sexual desires, like a fire inside us. We want to explore things, to search for pleasure, to have fun, to take risks. Want to be significant and achieve great things. People get married, have a family. We put effort into our jobs and our family, and we pursue things that our society or our church tells us we should do. And for many of us, we really start getting our lives together when we believe in Jesus. But even when you believe in Jesus, when you come to faith in Christ, life is still sometimes a struggle. That's the first stage of life, the struggle to get your life together. How do you know if you've got your life together? I won't ask you to put your hands up if you think you had, but certainly it's a process, isn't it? Here are three things to consider in getting your life together. Firstly, no one ever completely gets their life together. It's a journey, not a destination. Second, there comes a turning point when our reasons for doing things are less motivated by our own pleasures and more motivated by serving others. And thirdly, it is possible to go backwards. That is, after a time of giving yourself in the service of others, we become more motivated by our own pleasure, or we just need a break to rest and renew ourselves. Example, some people retire from full-time work and then have time to do stuff they enjoy. That's good. It's good to do things you enjoy. But there can be a lack of balance, and you end up just doing lots of things for your own pleasure and kind of stop or reduce the giving away of your life. It's kind of like saying, well, I've done my service, let's relax and enjoy the remaining life that I have. So in those situations, people in that situation, their vision of being a blessing to others gets smaller. Okay, so summary, getting our lives together becomes real when our motivation and our reason for doing things is not mostly about ourselves. Stage two, giving our lives away. I'd like to quote from a guy called Ron Rollheiser, says it well, and I'll put it up there so you can read it or listen. If someone were to photograph our deepest insides, what that photo would reveal is that the pleasure principle is the source of our motivation, still makes itself strongly felt, but is no longer the ultimate decision-making voice inside of us. Higher concerns now trump the pleasure principle, at least in our major decisions. And there is a healthy anxiety inside us about contributing something to make our families, our churches, and our world better. There's a lot in there, but that's the shift into this giving your life away stage. To summarize it, giving my life away really starts when my purpose in life is more to serve others than to please myself. Now, this can be a bit tricky. So we might be giving our lives away for the sake of others. We may be serving others and being a blessing to them. But what's my motive? If I'm giving my life away, but I'm doing it so that people will praise me, then I have a problem. So, as always, why I do things is important, not just what I do. And our fallen nature will always seek pleasure. So I encourage you, to think about not only what you do, but why you do it. Katie Davis. She was 18 years old when she signed up for a short-term mission trip to Uganda. And she was deeply moved by the children of Uganda that she went back to her home country of America and then returned to Uganda to live there. She didn't go to college. She broke up with the love of her life. She disappointed her parents and lost a lot of friends. In Uganda, she adopted 14 children. My point, you don't have to be old to give your life away. Right? You don't have to be old to do it. So what characters this characterizes giving our lives away? Three struggles. The continued desire for pleasure to do what we want. It may no longer be our main source of motivation, but it's never broken completely. There's a struggle when we start to resent all the responsibilities that we have and the expectations other people have of us, and you say, just leave me alone. You know, had enough. And then there is always this deep struggle to forgive. It's very hard. My image of people who struggle to forgive is like people who are walking around carrying two really heavy bags. It's just weighing them down all the time. So there's some of many other struggles that we face in this second stage of life. Okay. Right, so stages of life. I've explained two of them. I've explained the theory of it, but what about the practice of it? Because this real world that we live in is messy. And I think that we often move back and forward between these two stages. Maybe they shouldn't be called stages, because stages sort of seem like a linear process. You do this stage, then this stage, and so on. So maybe there's states that you can go in and out of. And I think the picture looks a bit more like that. That you get your life together, and then you start giving your life away, and then maybe you have to go back and get some things together again. And so the idea of a straight line is probably not that helpful. So for Wendy and me, our time serving at the Meigs Bible College in Myanmar was mostly stage two, giving our lives away. But when we left Myanmar at the end of March this year, and we were exhausted, toasted, you know, just really, really tired. So upon coming back, our focus has been on resting and recovering from this tiredness. And so we're kind of in stage one. Now, stage two remains our goal and still our intention to give our lives away and be a blessing to others. Maybe we can think about these two stages as means and ends. So stage one, getting your life together, that's the means, that's the how you get going. And stage two, giving your life away, is the end or the goal. And as I've said before, you can't give your life away if you haven't first got it together. It's pretty hard to do. For some people, life is mostly stage one. It can be so challenging, so difficult, that it takes almost all that you have to live. Here is a picture of a small village, I mean really small village, about, 2 hours' drive north of Yangon. And we visited this village with our friend Paul Noong. No electricity, no water, or no pipe water. You go down to the creek and find some. no work. Most of the men are drunkards. So for the people in this village, survival, just getting their lives together and holding that, is their main focus. But for us in New Zealand, I think we should take heed of Jesus' words in Luke 12:48, to him or to her, whom much has been given, much is expected. We have been given much in this country in general. So I think the example of that village does not really apply. Okay, a pastoral comment. If you feel that you have failed to some extent in giving your life away, take heart. Join the club. Failure is normal. And failure, unfortunately, is one of the best ways of learning. The Apostle Peter had a splendid failure in denying Jesus 3 times, and he recovered from that and followed Jesus and was a blessing to many people. So we will fail along the way, and that's not a problem if we learn from it. Could be a problem if you don't. Okay, back to the start. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. So the 2 stages or states I talked about were getting your life together and giving your life away. So finding our life has similarities with getting your life together. Losing our life has similarities with giving your life away. Okay, just about there. Back to the start. What is your life purpose? So from what I've said this morning, I could say my life purpose is to give my life away and be a blessing to others. That would be an okay start, I guess. But for each of us, you kind of need to own it for yourself. You say, well, this is what it is for me. And, okay, so homework, if I may, over this week, think about your life purpose. The background of the stages of life, getting your life together and giving it away, may feature in your definition of your life purpose, or it may not. So that's the homework. I will share with you my current life purpose, because it does change. Next week. Okay. And as the ads go, but wait, there's more. For every one of us, there is another journey that we must all make. A final and unavoidable 3rd stage of life. And God willing, that's what I'll talk about next week, along with some more reflection on this losing and finding your life that I've talked about. So I'd like to pray, and then if there are any questions or comments, we could have a short discussion. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us in this life and offered us eternal life with him. We know this life that we live is very short in comparison with the life to come. We know there will always be struggles. Help us to move toward giving our lives away for the sake of others, that we may be a blessing to other people. Help us too to be clear or clearer on our own life purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in Burmese, that's pibabi, which means I'm finished. But if there are any comments or thoughts, we can have a quick chat. Jeffrey. Right, that's a good definition. Thank you, Jeff. Okay.
And also, when I think of that little village in Myanmar, I bet there's people in there who, despite their absolute poverty, are giving their lives away.
Did you hear Christine's comment? I've got very short memory, but the second part of, in that village in Myanmar, yeah, there are. The people there are focusing on getting their lives together. But yeah, there are still people that are serving others and being a blessing. And so people have written a lot about these two stages as if they're two separate things. And I'm trying to blur them together, but they've still got their own important characteristics. And for me, I guess a fundamental idea is you have to be making progress with giving your life away. I'm sort of getting it together before you can do a lot of giving away. But yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Two legs in the same chair.
What's that?
Two legs in the same chair.
Two legs for the same
chair that you were sitting on before.
Yeah, okay. Okay, two legs of the same chair. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
He was a child.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, for me, it's been interesting as reading some of these ideas and just realizing that even the ideas aren't as crisp or clear as they might be. And it's, but I think if we can think of both those ideas and merge them in a generous way, it will help us. No.
I think we need to sort of emphasize that a bit. A lot of people get pleasure from not doing non-Christian things, from doing Christian things.
Yeah. I mean, when you give your lives away and bless people, that does give you pleasure. It's a good thing to do. And again, so you get this lack of clarity between these two stages, which it's a good starting point. Oh.
Peter says his wife can't stop herself. I read something delightful about Jane Goodall, who spent her life with the chimpanzees. She said for a period of her life, she was tearful all the time, and she couldn't work out why. And she realised, I'm looking at that, it was her giving up her right to be selfish.
Yeah. It's not. So it's back to the why as well, not just the what, but the why. Yeah, good comment. I'll have to think about that. Yeah, not sure.
I do not live for myself.
Yeah, yeah. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Yeah. But the reality is, there's always a bit of me in there, isn't there? And that's okay, I think. So, again, the boundaries are a bit blurred. Philip.
Again, this being Father's Day, I think probably every parent would agree
Yeah, but you're stronger when you choose to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.